Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello and welcome to the weekly conversation, the Tuesday edition. I'm Kyle, the man with the mic. This week on the conversation, this episode is going out to Gwenna Phil. She was a PBS news anchor who died at the age of 61. Our thoughts and prayers go out to her and everyone in her family. The family and all involved have not released the cause of death as of yet, but if you ever watched PBS like I used to, she was a main anchor, and we lost a decent one, one that still had some morals and values left. Also, Chicago is going to be, as Rob Emanuel said, a safe sanctuary city. So does that mean if you're a serial killer from Florida, can you go up to Chicago and they can't extradite you or take you back to Florida because it's a sanctuary city? Because I know all these illegals are paranoid that they're going to get deported because, well, they're illegal. They don't have a right to be here. They shouldn't be here. Also, students at Brown University tore up and threw away American flags that were out for Veterans Day, which makes me sick because of my dad and what he did and my wife's dad and the sacrifices they gave so I can be free. Also, Oprah is learning that there are some people that will not tolerate anything nice said about Trump. And guess what? I'm going to ask this question. What could Trump do where a liberal can say, I was wrong about him, when most of the people think that this country is great right now? That and much, much more. So join me for the conversation that you're a part of. Jude 1, verse 20 and 21. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. Think about that as you're going through your day today. And I want to thank my lovely wife accidentally for getting me sick. She didn't mean to, but I mean, this is the third time I've had to go to like the urgent care to get like antibiotics and stuff. Because I felt great. I got a bunch of stuff done Saturday. I was on Saturday and Sunday. And by Sunday night, I felt like I was going to lose my cookies when we went to Olive Garden. But I took stuff and I ate. And then my wife's like, okay, we're going to Rock. You're not, you look like crap. We're going to get this nipped in the bud. So we go there and I get antibiotics for the third time. Because I was cold and hot. And then we go to CVS. And if you've got something to pick up, oh, we're closed. I'm like, so we had to go to another CVS and finally got medications. I'm a little under the weather, but thank you all again for tuning in and listening wherever you're listening to from coast to coast. But I don't get this. High school and middle school kids are walking out and protesting Trump's move to like deport illegals and the fact that he's gotten the election and all this. You know, okay. First of all, they can't even vote. So what are they proving? I tell you, like my wife said, if it was something that Reagan did and I walked out, my parents would beat my ass. It didn't matter. They would have beat me. But what can they? Well, see, I'm against this because Trump wants to take illegals that don't have a right to be here anyways because they're illegal, and he wants to, like, send them back. Well, gee. What did Bill Clinton say? We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. There was a place near I think it was in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, where this guy goes, if this company was being abide by the laws, they would be shut down because they had so many illegal workers that if they were getting fined for every illegal worker they had, which was a law, they'd be out of business. For some reason, liberals have this idea that we should just have open borders, and how dare you want to take someone who's illegal that doesn't even have the legal right to be here because they have no paperwork, they're undocumented, that they should just be able to stay here. They'll sit there, they're more concerned. I mean, you can have vets homeless on the side of the road and they'd be more concerned about these illegals that don't even have a right to be here. Well, when you consider half of them are not even close to voting age, like they're really going to accomplish anything being a 12-year-old going out and protesting? Where's the parents? I don't know if you heard about this, but this goes for stupid parent of the year that I hope gets locked up. There was a lady that filmed herself cussing out her 7-year-old son who in a mock election voted for Trump, had a bag packed for him, and kicked him out of her house. You get your bleeping SH bleep bleep and get your crap out of here. Why did you vote for Trump? What the? And she goes off and throws him out and well, why don't you go with your Trump-loving brother? And the two kids, as we know of so far, they're in Child Protective Services. And we're waiting to hear what's pending on the, they're investigating this mom. And I really hope, I don't know how they can give her the kids back. How can you do that to your own son? I mean, if I said, Mom, you know what? I like Jimmy Carter. I think he's going to be, she'd have been like, okay, I don't know what you see in him, but if you think, go for it. Yeah, I know. She'd have been like, let me show you what Jimmy Carter's all about. I don't get these people. I don't. These parents. I don't know. I don't get it. But then we also live in a generation where if you get in trouble, the parents side with the student, not the school. But I don't get it. I don't get it, man. Let's have a sanctuary city so that we can get all these people that shouldn't even be in this country in the first place. I love to try to get a hold of Rob Emanuel and ask him, okay, since you're going to be a sanctuary city, does that include, like, rapists and murderers from other states? Can they come there and they'll be safe and they don't have to worry about being prosecuted and, you know, thrown in jail? I mean, I don't get it. I seriously do not understand this society where they're putting on more faith and love for these people that don't even have a legal right to be here. Now, we are a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws. If you want to come here and do it correctly, great. But look at what happened in California. The guy was deported how many, like 5 times? And ICE said you need to hold him so we can pick him up and deport him. And California won't do it because because they're a sanctuary city. They don't believe in following any immigration laws or anything. It's just sick. But that's why Trump got elected. There were students at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, that tore up and ripped up American flags that were placed, hundreds of them, in honor of Veterans Day. And these students are standing up, and we need to make every university a sanctuary city and all this stuff, and it just makes you sick.
You know what the sad thing is? Veterans really don't care because they fought for themselves to have the freedom to do that.
Yeah. And I guess you can protest, but ripping up an American flag or tearing up something, that's just wrong to me. Because my dad, was in the Presidential Honor Guard with Lyndon B. Johnson, and you didn't have to, you didn't always agree with 100% of everything a president did that you were with. I mean, he doesn't talk a lot of much about it just because a lot of it's classified. You know, they'll die with them, but, you know, when you have people that died for this country, you know, let's protest Trump being president by burning the American flag. How does that solve anything? If this is not your flag or not your president, then what you need to do is you need to go start soul searching and find your own, find the flag and find the country that you agree with. And look, why don't you go to North Korea? Then you don't have a choice. Then it's Kim Il-sung, okay? Then you worship him 100%. You don't have a choice. You have 6 pictures of him up. What's your favorite? They're all my favorite. They're all my favorite. I love you, dear leader. We love you, dear leader Obama. I mean, I don't get it. Is my point going to come true? Is like, are they going to keep up all these riots that we have significant evidence that George Soros is behind, so that right before Barack Obama will call martial law and retain the White House, and until this martial law gets under control, his Obama really hasn't said anything to try to stop it. Oprah Winfrey found out what it's like if you try to say anything, like, you know, just take a deep breath and breathe. Oh, how dare her? How dare she? I mean, my question, and I'm going to ask this throughout the night, is what could Trump do? Where a liberal would say, yeah, I'm sorry, this country's going in the right direction. He's doing stuff right. He's bringing jobs back. Wages are increasing. This is because... Because, like, even on the 5, Juan Williams is like, well, look at the GDP and look at this and look at that and all this stuff and look at the unemployment rate. And I'm like, unemployment rate don't mean nothing, because you can give everyone a part-time job who can live on $7 an hour, 20 hours a week. You'd have zero unemployment. It looks great on the outside, but on the inside, it's bad. I just don't know where these people are. I mean, that's why I'm glad we have Trump. That's why he's in the White House. Because people are tired of these whiny, crybaby liberals that, I don't know what to do. Oh my God, my whole world's collapsing. I'm going to have to actually earn my paycheck. What's that? There's a video where this guy does like this video and it's just hilarious. He's like, I'm not going to live in my parents' basement anymore. I'm not going to be able to play video games anymore. I'm going to have to actually work and get a job. You're going to actually have to pay for your education. But here's the thing, though. I don't get it. I don't understand liberals. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. You know? I mean, am I wrong? Did I miss the boat or something? Because I had someone come up to me, oh, yeah, you want us to all get along, but when Obama was president, you know, you were dissing him. I'm like, yeah, you can say all the crap you want about Trump. You can diss Trump. We dissed Obama, but here's the thing. We didn't protest. We didn't burn American flags. We didn't loot and riot buildings. We came together on a specific date to protest the Obamacare that they were shoving down our throats, and that congressmen and senators and their families didn't have to use and got exemptions from. That's what we were protesting. We weren't protesting his election. There's a big, big difference. And also, some of the things we protested were the day after when Obama was in the newspapers being announced as president. If you read the newspaper from Kenya, like the main newspaper in Kenya, their article read, our native-born Kenyan is now the leader of the free world. They didn't say, well, a guy that lived here. They talked about their native-born son who was born in Kenya. They always refer to Obama as their, as someone who was born there, because he was. You can't be president if you weren't born in America. His social security number is someone from like Connecticut from the 1800s. None of the stuff that they gave matched. And we're expected to just accept the fact that this paper in Kenya talks about their native born, now the leader of the free world. It's ridiculous. But we never rioted. We never burned down buildings. We didn't do that crap. We weren't crying. We weren't trying to find any way to see if we could get Romney elected instead of Obama. Okay, well, let's go to Electoral College, man. You know, maybe if he got the popular vote, you know. The reason why Obama got elected is 25 times more blacks came out for him than Hillary. But then half of those people didn't even know who they were voting for. I voted for Barack Obama. Well, you did? Great. Well, what's his running mate? His running mate is John McCain. You know, that's probably worse. But this is what really sickens me. Out of 112 people arrested in the city of Oregon during a recent protest, at least 69 of them, at least, maybe more, didn't even turn in a ballot or even vote. They're protesting that Trump won, but they didn't even vote. They only found 25 people that were arrested that did actually vote. You can't bitch if you don't vote. You can't. Oh, but they have to vote. They don't have to vote. They're just going to piss him on because Hillary Clinton was going to give them free everything. Because for some reason, liberals have this idea that Hillary was just going to, like Bernie Sanders, if he got in, there was going to be free education, free everything. Go to Greece if you think everything's going to be free and see what just happened there. That's coming here if she would have gotten in, if Bernie Sanders would have gotten in. I don't get it. Oh, I can't wait for this free Obamacare. Well, who's paying for it? Well, I never thought about that. You mean someone's got to pay for this stuff? I don't get it. I don't know where these people came from, where they think that everything's just going to be handed to them on a silver platter. They haven't fought for anything, but they want everything given to them. What I think Trump should do is he should do what my mom suggested. Every person has to serve the country for at least 2 years. And then they'll see what it's like. I don't get it. But like I've said, what could Trump do to where liberals would say, oh, I was wrong? I'm sure there might be, out of like 10,000 or 20,000, there might be one liberal that says, you know, hey, I was wrong about him. I thought he was going to do, you know, but hey. And that'd be I think a high number, one out of like 20,000. But 90% of them, I don't think there's anything Trump could do, because they've already elected the jury and the sheriff and everything, and they've got the executioner ready to hang him. There's evidence that George Soros has been meeting with top Democrats to try to find a way to get rid of him, to take away his power. It's not going to matter no matter what they do. no matter what he does, no matter what he says, they're just going to diss him. Well, Nigel Frigel, the UK Independent Party leader, sees many similarities between England's vote to leave the EU and the presidential election leading to Barack Obama leaving and Donald Trump coming in. I believe that there is going to be a political revolution happening around the world. I do. I see it. I do see it, and it's just something that, but I don't, I sit there and I lie awake, like, how do you educate these kids that, I don't know what people, I don't know why these, like, young kids just think that, like, the Democrats are so cool, and Hillary's just so awesome, and, because I guarantee you they don't know anything, they probably don't know jack about anything, about any of the topics. I mean, but when you think about it, that there was a Twitter-approved hashtag that was taken down, Hillary for prison, but there are two that are still up, rape Melania and assassinate Trump. You know, this goes to show you what they allow and what they won't allow. But don't worry. People are starting to wake up and say, hey, you know, that's why Trump got elected. That and a lot of the people that are, you know, protesting his victory are the same ones that are like, wait a minute here. Oh, yeah, you're protesting a guy you didn't even vote for. That makes a lot of sense. But what else is new? There was an actual, I'm going to get into this one. This one, let me see if I can bring up this. Yes, here we go. Where is it? Here's the article. Matt Harrigan, who is president and CEO of Paxled, is, we believe, put on administrative leave. Because he is actually threatened to assassinate Trump. He goes, in no certain terms, F you, America, seriously, F off. And I guess when some of the people on the board and stuff found out, he was relieved. And basically, they contacted the Secret Service. And he has accepted the resignation. He basically voluntarily quit. So I would love to have heard what happened if a white person would have done that to Obama. If a black person did it, you'd probably never hear about it because it would not go against the liberal agenda. But it's just sad. But that's the world we live in. Oh, we don't even know what this man's going to do. Because for some reason, they're threatened because they think he's just going to, like, deport every illegal. Well, they're going to tear up families. Well, so, I mean, why would half of the family be illegal and half of them legal? You know? Because I guess for a while, what I've always been told is, like, if I was from Mexico and I came up here and I had a kid, and if it's born in America, then it's legal. And I don't get it. You know, we have rules and laws for a reason, to protect this nation. Because if we're going to have sanctuary cities and not enforce our borders, then who knows who's coming across? Who knows who's... Who knows what's happening in this nation? There is a wonderful, you know, lady, Azrara Nomami. She is a liberal Muslim immigrant who talked about why she voted for Trump. And she's like, I'm sick and tired of this self-interested liberalism where these people are just like crapping on anyone who votes Trump for no reason, you know. She goes, I don't have health insurance now. I can't get it. My mortgage I haven't been able to do anything with my mortgage. Nothing. I guess all these like candy coated promises have not come true. And there's a lot of demographics as we're looking at all the, I'm looking at a lot of this election data. It's kind of cool to actually look at and do it. When you look into a lot of this election data, what you're finding out is a lot of these places believe it. Okay, hey, we took a shot with change, and now we have nothing to show for it. And Hillary seemed to be more change. So that's why we decided to vote Trump, to have something else to come of it. Because if nothing's really changed with Obama, Hillary would just be more of the same. Got about 32 minutes left in the program, folks. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. And you know, I believe honestly with what went on in London and stuff, people are starting to wake up and realize that, hey, all this liberalism stuff, all this stuff that like Hillary Clinton and stuff wanted ain't working. You know, we need to go back to what our founders wanted. And I think it's going to be a good thing. Because like I said last week, we started a movement that wouldn't have gone away even if Hillary had become president. We're a thorn that's not going away. And I think a lot of people are starting to wake up to realize that, hey, look at how they're saying all this about the country being so great, but it's not. It's not that great. Like the liberals want to have you believe. There's actually an article I was reading where they talk about where George Soros has met with top donors to plot plans to take back power from Trump. How can we get him out of office? How can we do whatever we can to derail him? That's not a democracy. That's okay. Well, since we're liberal, we're going to try. If Obama was doing a great job, I'd be the first to admit, hey, buddy, I'm sorry. Man, look at what Trump's done. Or look at what Obama's done. Look at how great this country is. Look at the jobs. He's going after ISIS. That's the kind of person I am. I don't, you know. It's just crazy that there's so many self-interested liberals that will never have one thing ever good. Like, they'll never, no matter what happens, they won't be able to find anything good about them, no matter what. And that's not how our country should be. If you find something great about Obama, say, hey, this is one thing I did. This is one thing I did like about Obama. I will say this. When he said that Hillary Clinton will say anything to get elected, that's one thing I loved about him. He said the truth. That's about it. You know, when they're sitting there saying, well, yeah, we have to pass the healthcare bill to find out what's inside. I remember that they had a thing on TV and they said, don't make an appointment to see the doctor to try to find out what's in Obamacare. We know as much as you do. because I guess a bunch of people were calling and making an appointment with their doctor, and when they're there, they just wanted to discuss this Obamacare to find out what's in it and what's how's it going to work and all this stuff. And no one knew anything because they didn't read it. They passed it. It's just one of those, just don't understand this world. You know, I don't get it. Why they want to, you know, why liberals can't just accept he's president. I accepted Obama was president, but, you know, I gave him crap because the national newspaper of Kenya basically said, okay, our native-born son is now the leader of the free world. Wow, the Kenyan newspaper said that their native-born son, how could he be native-born? He's from Hawaii. You know, when stuff didn't make sense, when 2 and 2 didn't equal 4. And I said, hopefully I'm wrong about him and stuff actually works. But I was wrong. You know, I didn't go out and riot and protest and cry and I can't come to work because Obama won. Well, this is where this world's coming to. On Friday, a letter signed by 469 students and professors objected to University of Virginia President Teresa Sullivan's quoting of the third U.S. president and Declaration of Independence author in a campus email because Thomas Jefferson owned slaves, the Calvary Daily reported. Even though he was the one, Thomas Jefferson, that penned the line, all men are created equal. One professor said that Jefferson's words communicated to me a message of exclusion. How does that make sense? Oh, man. Well, that, see, he's not talking, see, he's talking about men as in mankind, as in human beings, as in all of us. This notion, he's probably like, well, you're excluding women. Well, you know, when Star Trek said boldly go where no man has gone before, they were talking about mankind as all human beings, not as male or female. But some people get their panties in a wad and bunched up, and it is anything to complain. Anything to complain. But like the Post said, isn't it amazing how these jerks in Washington, D.C. can unite against Trump, but they can't unite to help America or the people? It's like this. When that guy was protesting at a Bill Clinton thing, and he's like, you know, you aren't going up, you aren't helping the vets and this and that, and, you know, like, sorry, but how hard is it for them to just say, okay, if you're a vet and you served in this country, you can go to any hospital and get treated for free? Nope, can't do that. Remember, folks, it's no longer about if Trump or Clinton have decency, but if we do as a nation. We may have dissed Barack Obama all the time on Facebook and stuff, but we didn't go out and trash the streets and say, he's not my president, he's not my, this ain't my flag. I might have said, yeah, he's not, I didn't elect him, but I didn't go burn the flag over it. I mean, Trump will actually be only the third president to forego a salary, and I think by law he has to take like a dollar or something. He found out, so he's taking like the dollar that he has to, but he's going to be the third president to forego a salary. And the other two were Kennedy. John Fitzgerald Kennedy was the other one, and the third one I think was Herbert Hoover, if my history serves me correctly. I'm pretty sure it was Herbert Hoover. But I don't know how this is going to work, because supposedly he doesn't want to waste taxpayers' money, and he wants to use his own jet to fly from place to place, because it costs a lot of money to use Air Force One. He doesn't want to waste taxpayers' money. And I don't know if they'll allow that. We'll have to wait and see, because there's a lot of things he wants to do. Like he wants to stay for part of the time in one of his Trump places in Vegas and one in New York, I think, or somewhere so he can be closer to the people. So we'll see how that works out. But, I mean, it's just crazy. And I do not put it past Obama to, okay, you know, if they say, hey, well, let's do the Trump card and lay it down and say, okay, let's call martial law. Because from what I've read, these protesters, some of them claim they're not backing down. This is just the beginning. It's only going to get 10 times worse. And of course, you really don't see anything out of Hillary or Obama saying, okay, you know, calm down. He's the president. You know, even Canada and Mexico have announced that they're willing to renegotiate NAFTA. You know, the Israeli prime minister has come out and said, hey, it's going to be nice to be able to come back together and mend our broken relationship because of Obama. You know, when Benjamin Netanyahu came here to speak the one time and they had some of the Democrats turn their back. I don't get it. I don't understand. But I mean, I grew up in a different generation where you were taught, you know, I was grew up almost like in a Chinese type family where you were taught to respect your elders and they have knowledge and okay, he's doing what he's doing because he's probably screwed up more times than you can imagine and he's learned from his mistakes. You know, son, you have to know your history or else you're bound to repeat the worst parts of it. I mean, even when Oprah has come out, and I think she's one of those people, Oprah, that when she said, you know, come on, you need to take a deep breath and just, you know, see what happens. You know, now she's getting backlash because she's had him on her program many times. And she's slowly starting to find out that most of these people don't care. I just wonder what would have happened if Trump would have ran as a Democrat. Because he's been very, very, and that's the one thing in the very beginning I feared. Okay, what if he gets in? Is he going to go back to his liberal roots? I honestly think he was that way for so long, and then now he's starting to realize that, okay, this is not getting us anywhere. That, like, all these policies are not helping us. Not hurting us. So it's just one of those things, you know. We need to come together. You don't have to agree with Trump, but this protesting and rioting, I'm glad those people don't live where I do. If there were Black Lives Matter people blocking the road, I wouldn't stop. I'd just keep going and run their ass over. It's called survival of the fittest. The smart ones would get out of the way. The ones that aren't smart are the ones that get run over. That'd be the simple solution to that. Oh, you gotta stop because you're blocking the road. Not my ass. I put that thing in drive and slam on the gas. And I mean, I'd be like, okay, I'm backing up. And I'm going to floor it. And if you're here, you're going to get run over. If you're not, then if you're smart, you get out of the way. If you're not, well, nope. Bye-bye. You know, we didn't do that crap. You don't have to agree with Obama. We didn't agree with Obama, but we, you know what? We didn't go riot and loot and trash and all this crap. we'd make fun of him on Facebook, and we'd say, hey, here you go. If you think that he's from Hawaii, Kenyan papers just stated that their native-born son has become president of the free world. That's not Fox News saying it. That's the Kenyan newspaper saying that they're native-born. But none of his birth stuff match. His birth number and social security number, none of that matches up. I mean, just like a lot of people feel about, like, the Clintons are a pieced together family. Some people think that way about Barack and Michelle, that there's no pictures of Michelle ever surfaced with her, with the two kids when they were born. You know? So, who knows? It's just crazy, this world, that, well, we don't want him quoting Jefferson because he owned slaves. Well, that's part of history, and if you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat the worst parts of it. We were one step away under Barack Obama to basically having, what would you say, segregation again? He was starting class warfare. That's socialism. That's what he was doing. He was pitting us against each other. It's called class warfare. And if Hillary got in, she would have kept it going by saying that the women don't make as much money as the men. They need to have equal pay, even though she was paying men more than women. Yep. Just because I'm on my TV. Yep. It's crazy, you know. And Trump being elected, in my opinion, just proves that, hey, it sums up how frustrated we are with this world and this nation and how it's going. It's just nuts. Because I never thought I'd see it. I mean, I feel like we're back, like my dad talked about, in the times of Vietnam when people burned the American flag. You know, I wasn't around there, but I never thought I'd see a day where this crap would be going on, where people would be that. I just wonder what they would have done if Obama lost. I think they're more sore losers because they did all this stuff to rig the elections and they still lost. You want my opinion? We had the voting machines rigged and everything. We still lost. I mean, it's amazing how many people never thought in a million years that Trump even had a shot. I didn't think Trump would even get a vote. Oh my, he won? I didn't think he would even win a state. It's just nuts how all these people still can't believe that he even had a chance of winning, let alone the fact he would win.
I still love Rachel Maddow.
Oh yeah, Rachel Maddow was the best. Yeah, we dissed Trump all the time on Facebook and stuff, but we didn't. But we respected our nation. We respected our flag. You know, you can diss Trump all you want, but you don't have to burn a flag. You don't have to riot and do all this crap. There's about 15 minutes left in the program, folks, and what a day. What a day. Yep, I was off yesterday and today because I had something my wife gave me, and I've just been like, I slept like all day yesterday and all day today pretty much. But, you know, I just see hope in this country again. You know, people, you know, well, and what I honestly see is, well, they tried hope. They tried Obama. They tried something because Obama to me seemed like this different thing that was like not politics as usual. And they said, let's try, let's see. And when he failed, they said, okay, now they're going to try politics, some guy that's not politics as usual from the right side. You know, and I believe Trump wants to actually do stuff, wants to get stuff done. You know, he's not, you know, he can do whatever he wants to do now. So You know, you can't say, well, he's just going to go play golf or whatever. Well, he can do that now. Why does he have to run for president? Why does he have to spend tons of money to run for president just to play golf? I don't get it. And then, oh, this was even more crazy because on his first 60 Minutes interview, they asked him, like, well, what would you do to go after ISIS? I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to tell ISIS what I'm going to do. You know, when it happened, I'll come out and say, this is what we did after the fact. I'm not going to tell ISIS what I'm going to do. Well, I'm going to put ground troops here. I'm going to do this here. I'm going to do that there so that they can. Because I guarantee you 90% of what Obama, the little bit he did to fight ISIS, he was saying what he was going to do. He was telling ISIS what he was going to do so they could leave. So by the time they did it, guess what? It's over. You know, they were able to get out and move. And when they ask him a couple questions, he goes, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do. And it's great that we have a commander in chief that knows that there are certain things that are going to remain secret. You know, just nuts. So you're not going to explain what you're going to do? No, I'm not going to tell my enemy what I'm going to do. They're going to have to find out the hard way. You're going to know after the fact what I did and who I killed. And wow. What common sense. Keep your enemies from knowing what your objective is. Yeah, I know. It's Captain Common Sense, I think, just came into the studio. You know? For once, I feel like there's someone there that's going to protect me. And not be like, well, okay, well, we need to make sure that all these illegals that are here, they're protected. You know, we got to make sure that they have a place to go that's safe. All these illegals are, like, worried. Well, they should be, you know, if you think an illegal should be here, then what's your view on law? I guess you're against, you know, any type of law, you know, and God forbid, you know, in a lot of countries, heck, if you're illegal, man, you'll be considered a traitor, a spy, you'll be killed. You won't even have a say under anything. Here, they want to give the illegals better care than the veterans. I don't know. I don't get it. Time to move on. To the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky, folks. Where you could actually dream of making something, and that's as I leave it with this. I hope that Trump brings back the American dream that so many people felt like was lost. Because, okay, well, how am I gonna? I gotta afford this and this and this with all these regulations. How can I start a business or do anything? Now, this is just a great thing. I wanted to bring this up. I like when you get like an update on your phone or an update on something, and like everything you liked about the phone before they switched and everything you hated, they kept. So like all these updates, they updated and changed things that you liked, and everything you liked, they got rid of. So like, oh, I hated this, and this is what they kept, and the things I liked, they got rid of. It's just amazing. This is what it's all about. I'm a huge motorsports fan, and it's Joey Logano attends funeral for 5-year-old NASCAR fan. Responding to a request from the child's mom. Logano and others in the NASCAR community attended Jake Leatherman's funeral. When Joey Logano stepped into his motor coach last week, he saw wife Brittany crying, and the scene stunned the NASCAR driver, who wasn't sure what he had just walked into. Logano learned Brittany was emotional over a TV news story where a mother of a five-year-old, Jake Leatherman, asked if any NASCAR drivers or crewmen could attend in uniform her son's funeral. Leatherman, a big NASCAR fan, died during a long battle of myelasemic leukemia. I walked into the bus after qualifying on Friday night at Texas Motor Speedway. She was inside crying. Logano said Friday at Phoenix International Raceway, I thought, oh no, what did I walk into? She just watched a video and told me about how he was a big race fan and thought it'd be cool to have something for his funeral and have drivers there. And Logano and Brittany both attended Letterman's funeral service on Wednesday in Hickory, North Carolina. They were among 100 members of the NASCAR community. He also estimated that turned out. Matt DiBenedetto and Ryan Ellis and J.J. Ailey and crew members, Hendrick Motorsports, Joe Gibbs, Richard Petty, a ton of them came out. That's what NASCAR is about, coming together. That's what we have to do in this world, come together. It's just amazing. Is that just, that's just what I try to do here, and I try to do when I'm out. You know, I just, we may have our differences, but you can solve them in better ways than trashing and burning and tearing up and looting and rioting. It's just awesome that they did. But to them, that's probably the least they can do to give back to their fans. But one of these things, this is, they haven't really, from what I've been told, put a lot of names out. This is only what I know so far, but if you don't know this, Sprint wants to spend a lot more money on development and stuff as opposed to advertising, because, you know, all the networks are great now, you know, within a 1% difference of each other. So, you know, and but that, then you have Verizon saying, oh, we got all this stuff, we got all this, and you know, they try to act like they're 10 times better than Sprint, and some of these networks are trying to compete with them. That's why you have AT&T staying. Now they have like a DirecTV app that if you have DirecTV and AT&T, as long as you have this app, you can watch almost anything on DirecTV on your phone with no data being used. But what's amazing is when Sprint decided to leave, they've been looking for title sponsors for the sport, and the only one that's been named so far in the running that I've heard of is Monster Energy. And I think that'd be kind of cool to have them sponsor it, you know. I mean, you take for granted how long, what was it, like 28 years or 29 years that Winston sponsored NASCAR? But then for them, it was kind of hard because they really couldn't have commercials, really advertise. So it's not like they could, you know, so it's kind of, and then when the tobacco lawsuit settlement came, they really couldn't afford to, so they stopped. And then Nextel came in, which became Sprint, and they've been there ever since for like 12 years. So it's going to be interesting to see come off season what happens with NASCAR and who they get for a title sponsor. And as we go into the final race this weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway, Joey Logano, Jimmy Johnson, Carl Edwards, and Kyle Busch are the four that remain left in the chase that can actually win the championship. And Joey Logano and Carl Edwards would be their first championship. Kyle Busch would be his second. And Jimmy Johnson would be having his historic seventh championship to equal that of the King Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt Sr. And I kind of, he's a great driver, Jimmy Johnson, I will say that. Because He reminds me a lot of Dale Sr. because it doesn't matter if he's in first or 50th. Not that there's 50 cars, but just for example, he'll be 20 laps down and he still wants to be in front of that car ahead of him. He doesn't give up for anything. I don't care. He still wants to try to drive that dang car. Okay, the wheels are busted and the suspension's broke. Well, I don't care. Will it move? Can I get, you know, he just has that, you know, like Dale Sr. one time, he was about ready to get in the ambulance. He goes, those wheels look like they're straight. And he didn't want to go to Daytona he didn't want to have a DNF in Daytona. And he was able to drive it around the track. And, you know, and Jimmy Johnson has that same tenacity. He wants to win. He wants to be in ahead of that car in front of him no matter what, no matter how many laps he's down, no matter what. And it'd be kind of neat to see him get a 7th championship to match Richard Petty and the King and Dale Sr. But to see like Joey Logano or Carl Edwards get a 1st championship, that'd be really cool too. So I think it's great that they have it. So like when it comes to the final Homestead Miami Speedway, because there's a lot of people that lost interest in NASCAR when there's okay. All Jimmy Johnson has to do is basically start the car and go across the start-finish line. He's won the race. He's clinched the championship. And it's like, okay, what's the point of watching the last race? You know, and the only way it would be cool is if his car wouldn't start and he couldn't get it across the start-finish line, which would be a 1 in a million chance, you know. So I think it's one of those things that I think it's going to be, you know, that the way they've set it up so that you have more than one person fighting for it at the end. You know, and I think they are trying to do some things to bring the fans back, and I think it's going to be it's hard to believe it's another season basically ending, you know. It goes, I mean, these go by so fast. I mean, it's hard to believe I'm 42, and it just seemed like yesterday I was watching, you know, Dick Trickle and Harry Gant and Davey Allison and Alan Kulicki, and got about 90 seconds left in the program, but, you know, seeing Richard Petty and Darrell Waltrip and the Tide Ride, and it's just hard to believe it if you think about it. It was 1989 was the first year that they had every race televised. Before that, you'd have to find a radio station that carried the race and listen to a lot of them. Never, like some of the big and stuff they would televise and the Daytona and stuff. So it's going to be interesting if they start listing more names for the title sponsor, because the only one I've found is Monster that they've announced. Supposedly, I think there's others, but I've not heard if they've said who they are or not. But it's going to be interesting, folks. So just think about this as you go forward. You know, you can disagree with Trump, you can disagree with Obama like we did, but you can handle it two ways. You can sit there because you disagree with someone, tear up flags and burn flags, and or you can sit there and you can say, I disagree with it, but how do we go forward? How can we peacefully disagree? And with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until this Thursday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.